Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Together. As we study the foundations and rhythms of the early church, we can discover how being deeply connected in the community of believers can transform our lives, our cities, and the world. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Well, welcome everybody here in the room, as well as everybody that's online. A special welcome to our guest. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll come back, and you're invited to participate in everything at Valley Brook as you so desire. Today, we are kicking off a new series. It's called Together, and you'll understand why as I sort of move into this message. You know, in the history of the world, humans have never been more connected, and humans have never been more lonely. Think about how connected we are. Wherever our friends or family members are, we can take out our phone and we can call them. We can even FaceTime them, and we can actually see them wherever they are in the world. Not only can we hear their voices, but we can see them. And yet, that kind of connectivity, researchers and scholars point out that the increased feelings of loneliness and separation has never been higher. Psychology Today defines loneliness as a state of distress or discomfort that results when one perceives a gap between one's desires for social connection and one's actual experiences of social connection. You know, the irony is that the technology that we have makes connectedness so much more accessible. It also seems to be the major contributing factor to human loneliness. One report states that feelings of loneliness began to rise in teenagers in the United States in 2012, which really corresponds to the popularity of smartphones. And the study points out that when teens started spending less face-to-face time with each other, that's when it began to grow. Brian Chin, the author of Tech Fix, writes, "The rise of smartphones and social networking apps have forever changed social norms and how we communicate. More personable interactions like phone calls have been superseded by text messages. When people broadcast their lives on TikTok and Instagram, they may be representing themselves in a genuine way, but as one doctor writes, it's hard to know who's being real online, and it's hard for people to be themselves online, and that is a recipe for loneliness." In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General released a report called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. Some of the key points of that report were that approximately half of U.S. adults report experiencing loneliness with some of the highest rates among young adults. That same report shared the impact of loneliness and social isolation on our health. Loneliness and social isolation increase the risk of premature death by 26% or more. More broadly, lacking social connection can increase the risk of premature death. Listen to this, as much as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day would increase our chances of premature death. In addition, poor or insufficient social connection is associated with the increased risk of disease, including a 29% increased risk of heart disease, a 32% increased risk of stroke. Furthermore, it's associated with increased risk of anxiety, depression, and dementia. Additionally, the lack of social connection may increase our susceptibility to viruses and respiratory illnesses, which seems a little counterproductive, doesn't it? There also seems to be a connection between loneliness and other troubling feelings, not to be surprised here. For example, 81% of lonely adults reported anxiety or depression, and about 75% of lonely adults reported having little to no meaning or purpose in life. Now, the conclusions of those studies about loneliness should concern us. They're honestly a bit depressing. We should be concerned for our health and for the health of our children and for the health of others. We should be concerned about our use of technology and the use of our children's use of technology and our grandchildren's use. But in the midst of that distressing information, I have some good news for you. God has an antidote for our loneliness. God's antidote for loneliness is the church. And you're participating in it right now. So we're beginning this series. It's called Together. And it's a series about how God gives us that antidote for loneliness, how he calls us in to community. Not only will we be examining each Sunday what the Bible tells us about committing to being in community, but we're going to invite you to join with others in small group gatherings of community. We call those life groups at Valley Brook. And we are always committed to life groups because we believe this. We believe that life does not happen in rows like we are right now. We think it happens in circles. And so we invite people to gather in smaller groups of adults in homes and here at the church to spend a couple of hours doing life together. And in those small circles, this is, if you've never been in one of our life groups, in those small circles, this is what will happen. You'll get together, you'll socialize, you'll make some connections, you'll probably eat some food. Then you'll open God's word, you're going to do a study, and as I told you, the theme of this study during this series is going to be called Together, and you'll study it, you'll talk about how it applies to your life, and then you'll spend some time, again, just sharing with one another, maybe prayer concerns, and all of our life groups do end in a time for prayer for those in the group, and then you're invited to come back and together. Some of our groups meet every week. Some of them meet every other week. You can find our groups on our website, and we encourage you to do that. We have, most of them are in person, but we do have a virtual group, and I will tell you this. If for some reason you can't find one that fits your schedule, please let us know, and we will see if we can find one that does fit your schedule, because we believe that life happens in circles. So, if God's antidote for loneliness is the church, I want us to look at God's vision for what this community called the church looks like. And we can find this in the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to start off reading from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of scripture called The Message. It's going to be on the screen behind me. That day about 3,000 took him at his word and were baptized and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's needs were met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were being saved. In other words, coming to faith in Jesus. So God's antidote for loneliness is community in this thing that we call the church. And in this version of scripture, I love that phrase that says the first Christ followers committed themselves to the life together. See, God's vision for community in the church is that we would actually do life together. And from Acts chapter 2, we see there are four activities that explain what doing life together looks like. And the first activity is this. It's meeting together. So let's talk about that. So we know that those first Christ followers met together. So I'm going to look back at Acts chapter 2 at a couple of those verses that tell us what they did when they met together. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. So let's look at the things they did when they met together. Now, I'll point this out. Some versions of the Bible translate this two-word phrase, life together, as fellowship. Life Together explains us what fellowship is. It means to be connected to others around a common interest. And that common interest here is faith in Jesus and following him. So notice also when they met, they had meals together. Now, we see in verses 42 and verses 46 that in the original language of the scriptures, the same phrase is used in the Bible for having a meal together and celebrating the Lord's Supper like we just did. They talk about breaking bread together. And so it's basically by context that scholars understand that one is talking about eating a meal together and one is talking about celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And so we see in the Acts chapter 2 that they did both. They had meals together, but they also celebrated the Lord's Supper. When they met together, they were taught by the apostles. And as to what they taught, New Testament scholar Dr. Richard Longnecker writes this: "The apostles' teaching refers to a body of material considered authoritative because it was the message about Jesus of Nazareth proclaimed by the accredited apostles. It undoubtedly included a compilation of the words of Jesus, some account of his earthly ministry, passion, and resurrection, and a declaration of what all this meant for humanity's redemption, all of which was thought of in terms of a Christian tradition that could be passed on to others." Now, we have that in our New Testament, particularly the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give us the picture of Jesus' teaching and what his life, death, and resurrection it looked like. And so we have that, and we understand that that is part of what the apostles taught. At some point, when they realized that they may not live until the Lord returned, they put those traditions and those teachings and those stories down so that other generations could have it. So it's clear that the early church was being taught what a Christian believes in. But as we continue, we'll also see that they were being taught that believing in Jesus is not just a thought experience, it also translates into the way believers in Jesus live their lives. In fact, because they followed the teachings of Christ so closely, that's actually how they were given the name Christian. The Bible tells us that in the Greek city of Antioch, the followers of Jesus were called Christians for the very first time. Now, contextually, we need to understand a little bit about that. It seems that in the first century Greek culture, it was common to give a satirical nickname to particular groups of people, not as a positive way, but as a sort of as a put down. So calling those early followers Christians was a dismissive gesture. It was likely meant to mock those early followers of Jesus. But that in itself is the evidence that they were living in the way of Jesus, because they were so identified with his life, death, and resurrection by how they lived their lives, they were given that nickname. Peter wrote in his first letter telling the followers of Jesus to not be ashamed of being called that dismissive name. So don't be ashamed of telling folks that you're a follower of Jesus, that you're a Christ follower, a Christian. So that's what they did when they met together. They lived what they believed, but there were other activities that brought them together and that marked their community in unique ways. Here's the second one I want to look at. They were sharing with each other. So from the very beginning of the church, the followers of Christ were known for their sacrificial generosity as they followed the example of Jesus. We have this testimony in the scripture that says this: "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." So I want you to notice that they didn't share some things. They shared everything. Nothing was off limits or held back. Also notice the sacrificial nature of their sharing. If they didn't have the thing that somebody needed, if they didn't have the cash, the ability to share that with others, it says they sold things and shared the proceeds with others. When you read through the book of Acts, you will see that radical generosity repeated over again. You'll see it repeated over. You'll also see a place where there's some consequences when that radical generosity didn't happen. Now, here as a church, you know, we seek to be generous. Obviously, we invite people to participate in the discipline of being generous to the ministry so that we can fulfill the mission that God has called us to. One of the things you need to know when you give here, the first 11% of your general offerings don't stay here. They go to ministries and missions in the region and around the world to promote the message of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. As a church, we have also made a pledge that we will never let someone go hungry or not live in a warm dwelling. In other words, we will make sure that people are able to heat their home and able to put food on the table. And I share that with you. And if that's ever a need, or if you know there's somebody that has a need, please send them our way. We have come alongside people when they're going through tough times as a church. We've committed to that. We'll help people when they go through a crisis, when they welcome a new child into the family, or when they have to say goodbye to a loved one. We will come alongside them and provide meals for them. We have a clothing closet. We open it once a month, but we can open it anytime to provide people with clean, used, lovingly used clothing. We have a wood ministry to help people who heat their homes with firewood so that they can stay warm in the winter. But it's not just sharing materially that we see the early church doing, in which we understand we're called. There's also a sharing of our lives together. It's so important. It's critical that we get beyond pleasantries, get beyond the surface. Listen to this word from the Apostle Paul. He said, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives." That's what we invite you to do in community, at your pace, at your comfort level. Sharing together was a mark of the early church, and it's a mark of Valley Brook, and we invite you to be involved in that community. Here's another mark of the early church. They were encouraging to each other. You know, everything we read about that happened in this passage from Acts chapter 2 was encouraging to the believers. And so, you know, that got me thinking. I want to share you a personal story that I experienced with some fellow believers. You may have noticed if you drove on campus, we have a disc golf course. And earlier this year, I started playing disc golf, and I'm a beginner, okay? But I have a couple of friends who are also followers of Jesus that have been doing it for years, and they explained to me about how the disc work and how to do it, and I invite them to play disc golf with me. And you need to understand what it's like. You know, here's a beginner, me, and these guys are not. And so, you know, when you throw one of these discs, I can probably throw it a third as far as they can. I slow them down, but they don't complain. In fact, they give me genuine encouragement. And honestly, the first time it happened, because I'm not good, it startled me. Because it was so genuine. They weren't faking it. I mean, they were enthused. They love the game and they want to see somebody else in it. And they were genuinely enthused. And so they've given me encouragement, but they've also spurred me on too, to not give up and to keep trying. And they'll give me tips and things. I've learned, for those of you who grew up with Frisbees, you don't play disc golf like you play Frisbee, okay? And undoing that muscle memory is pretty hard. But the reason I share that with you is because they encourage me with good words, but they also encourage me with constructive criticism. And we see that that's what happened in the early church. In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes about his hope in Christ and how to use it in the community of the church. So listen to these words. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." One of the activities of the community of the early church was encouragement. They encouraged each other to keep on believing, to keep on loving each other, even when it was hard to love each other, and to keep on doing good deeds. And think about that. In the first century, they were persecuted for believing in Jesus and doing good deeds. But they kept on doing it. They kept on doing it. They encouraged one another. The final activity that marked this community of the early church was that they were serving together. You know, when we read through this passage like Acts chapter 2, while it gives us a great picture of what was going on, it doesn't give us all the details. But from a high level, we can see how they were serving. So let's look at it again. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what do we see there? They were serving each other by making sure those in need were cared for, which is something that you see throughout the New Testament. They were being generous. They were making meals for each other. They were being the hands and the feet of Christ to one another and to the community that were not followers of Jesus. And you know what history tells us about the church? History tells us that that didn't stop in the first century, that it carried on. And we see that in history. In the first couple of centuries, what the church was known for was they took care of children that had been abandoned. They worked hard to care for those during epidemics and plagues. They would care for the poor. They would care for the sick. Their motto was, I'm going to serve others above myself. And then we think about in the history of the world, some of the great universities, some of the great organizations that populate our world today, whether they are churches or orphanages or hospitals or universities, were started by followers of Jesus. That selfless service of Christians marked them then, and it marks us today. And you know what's important is when you serve that way, it captures an unbelieving world's attention. Like, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? And if they're asked the question, they get to say, because I'm a follower of Jesus. All of these activities, meeting together, sharing with each other, encouraging one another, and serving together, created a community. And it still does. Because God's antidote for loneliness is the community of this thing that we call the church. And so I want to invite you to think about that for your own lives. How are you participating in that community? How are you leaning in to that? And as I've said, you know, we've given you some opportunities to be a part of that, to deal with the loneliness that you may be experiencing, to lean into community and find a purpose that's greater than yourself. To recognize that there are people who believe what you believe who can encourage you and can pray with you and pray for you and do life together. So let me share with you some next steps. And I'm going to go ahead and invite the band to come up to prepare for our last song. So if you're considering, well, okay, what should I do in response to this? Well, first, I want to encourage you to go deeper in our community and join one of our life groups. You can find our life groups, as I said earlier, you can find them listed on our website. Most of those groups are in person, but we do have at least one virtual one. And find the one that fits into your schedule. And then today, before you leave, go out to the cafe and you can pick up a copy of the book that we're going to be using during this series. It's called Together. We'll be using that in the life groups. And so I just encourage you to lean into that. Now, maybe you're saying, okay, I'm sort of new to this. I'm looking for community, but I'm not ready to commit to a life group. Well, let me give you a next step where you can just dip your toes in the stream of community for a brief time. Every other month, we do something called Growth Track. And actually, today is the first day of Growth Track for October, and it'll meet immediately after the service. People will meet at the Welcome Center in the lobby, and then they'll go to another room and meet. And it runs 30 to 45 minutes, and it's only for 3 weeks in a row. So we encourage you, if you're new to the church and want to find out more about Valley Brook, to attend Growth Track. If you're considering membership, we want to encourage you to go and attend Growth Track so you can find out more about what it means to commit to the covenant of membership at Valley Brook. And if you're just looking for community, because over those 3 weeks, you're going to get to know each other. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And you can always go onto our website and sign up for Growth Track. It's part of our next step, so we want to encourage you to do that. Now, maybe you're looking for a sense of community that has a real hands-on mission. Well, in 2026, we're going to be going back to Guatemala again to serve with Jalen Perry, our missionary at Breaking Cycles. And today, we're actually having an informational meeting. It will meet in our venue, which is right off of the cafe. And it will meet there at 11:15. So if you're just curious about it, I want to encourage you to go there. They're going to have about a 30-minute presentation just to share with you what we've done in the past, what we'll be doing. Our leaders for that will be there, and you'll get to know them. And you can begin to prayerfully consider if this is a place where you will be a part of this community. And so I would tell you this, you know, if you sign up for that mission trip, it's not that you would just look forward to getting on a plane with people. You're actually going to spend some time building community in the months prior to going on that trip in the new year. So it's a way that you will build community. So I want to pray for everyone here. I want to pray for us that we would lean into this community. And let me say this. The church is not a perfect community, okay? It's made up of people. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're pretty messy, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, sometimes we say things that hurt people's feelings or do things. The Bible tells us that we are sinners. And so there's no perfect community. So I want to give you that, but it's the best community, because it's centered around Jesus, and Jesus can do amazing things in us and through us in community. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you sent your Son here to earth, and then after he suffered for us, died to pay for our sins, defeated sin and death by his resurrection, and rose to heaven, that you and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and on that day the Spirit came, the church was born. And you called followers and believers in Jesus to gather and be in this community, this wonderful, imperfect community of people seeking to follow Jesus and his teaching. So Lord, help us lean into that together. Lord, we know that you've given us this, and it's an antidote for our loneliness. It's an antidote for our lack of purpose. It's an antidote to whatever we're suffering from. Help us take the step to be a part of this wonderful, imperfect thing called the church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.